Today is the third Sunday of Easter. Our readings from Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22, John chapter 21, verses 1 through 18. The message is titled, A Tale of Two Men. Acts chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, he replied. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus there's a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision. Ananias! Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered, I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to Ananias, go, this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. Here ends our reading from Acts chapter 9, the Holy Gospel according to John chapter 21, beginning at the first verse. Afterwards, Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals. There were fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have caught. You have just caught. Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Here ends a reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O loving Master, shine into our hearts by the pure light of knowing you. Open the eyes of our minds to reflect on your teaching and put into us the holy respect of your blessed commandments. Lead us to set aside all that is worldly, that we may follow a spiritual life, thinking and doing all things as it pleases you. For you are our sanctification and our illumination, and to you we give all glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. A prayer from the early church, our prayer this day. This is a tale of two men, born and raised in very different circumstances, and both would die under Nero's persecution in Rome in the year 64 AD or so. The Roman historian Tacitus, writing about 50 years after the occasion of the great fire of Rome, started in July of 64 AD. The Circus Maximus is where the fire began and burned for 5 days. The people immediately placed the blame on Nero. Nero blamed the Christians. Many Christians Nero had thrown to the animals and also had burned them alive. during this persecution of Christians, the two men were killed. At least that is what the traditions handed down have said to have happened. The two, Peter and Paul, apostles of the crucified and risen Christ the Lord. Paul writes in the letter to the church in Galatia, Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 11, I want you to know, brothers, that the gospel I preached is not something that man made up. I did not receive it from any man, nor is it I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Matthew wrote in his gospel account in chapter 16, when Jesus asked his disciples, but what about you? Who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of living God. Peter and Paul, pillars of the faith of the church. This is dramatically illustrated in St. Peter's Square in Rome. Standing tall and majestically are the statues of St. Peter, holding the keys of the kingdom, and St. Paul, holding a sword and a book, one on each side of the plaza square. Peter and Paul, great apostles who were teachers and guardians of the faith of the church. The faith that was entrusted to them to teach and to pass on. A faith not of their own making, but the result of divine presence of the Son of God, Jesus the Christ. The faith of the church is not man-made like all other religions in the world. The faith of the church is the unchanging revelation from God. Paul writes, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time. Most of them who are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then all to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. For I am the least of the apostles, and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am that I am. I am what I am, and this grace to me was not without effect. Peter writes in 2 Peter chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who, through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of our Jesus Christ, and of Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Now jumping down to verse 12 in 2 Peter chapter 1. So I will always remind you of these things. Even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. We did not follow clearly invented stories. when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. For we received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to Him from the majestic glory saying, "This is my Son, whom I love. With Him I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with Him on that sacred mountain. And that's referring to the time of Jesus' transfiguration. Peter and Paul. Paul and Peter. Two men, very different background stories. Peter, the small town boy and the family fisherman. Paul, the city boy and a scholar, along with being a tent maker by trade too. It was a common standard practice for rabbis to learn a common trade. Peter from Bethsaida, a town in Galilee, then was living in Capernaum. Paul from Tarsus, born to Jewish parents, born a Roman citizen. Roman citizenship was a very coveted possession. Peter, an unschooled ordinary man. Paul, a scholar of the law, learning under the famous rabbi Gamaliel. This would indicate that Saul's family at one time relocated from Tarsus to Jerusalem for Saul to study under Gamaliel. Peter, the man from a small town on the shore of Galilee. Paul, from the center of Jewish faith, Jerusalem, and a Pharisee. Peter at one time was married. Paul, single. Both had their names changed. Simon the fisherman was given the name Cephas by Jesus. Cephas, Peter, both meaning rock. Saul seems to have had a dual name, with Paul being the other name, like Thomas and Didymus. Saul seemed to have a dual name, with Paul being the other named. Acts 13, beginning at verse 9. Then Saul, who was also called Paul, that's in the book of Acts. And from this verse in the book of Acts, chapter 13, no longer is the name Saul referred to. That's fascinating. No longer, after this moment in Acts chapter 13, verse 9, the name Saul is no longer referred to in the scripture. From this verse on, Saul of Tarsus is referred to Paul. Some say Paul, a Roman name, made speaking to the Gentiles easier. He had a name that was Roman, and he would speak their language as being one of them. This is what Paul describes in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. "I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some." To be clear, there is no reference to Jesus changing Saul to Paul, as we have for Jesus changing Simon to Peter for a specific purpose. Again, Matthew chapter 16, beginning at verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus stating, "I will give you the keys," is the reason why the icons, the paintings, along with the statues, have Peter holding a set of keys. Paul is depicted as holding a sword and a book in icons, paintings, and statues. The sword from the armor of God is described in Ephesians chapter 6, especially verse 17. And the sword of Spirit, which is the word of God. The book Paul is holding is the word of God. But also with Paul, we have the tradition of depicting martyred saints with the instrument of their death, as a sword was the instrument of Paul's death. Jesus personally invited Simon along with his brother Andrew with, "Come, follow me." It was on the sea, on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, as they are casting their nets into the lake. Simon is the first to be called and to follow as a disciple. Immediately after that enormous catch of fish, which came after that night of empty nets. This is all, you can find it in Luke chapter 5. So many fish, both boats began to sink. Simon Peter fell at Jesus' feet and said, "Go away from me, I'm a sinful man." To which Jesus replied, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." Pulling the boats ashore, leaving all, they followed Jesus. Over 3.5+ years witnessing more than what could ever be written down, as the Apostle John states in John chapter 20, Simon Peter did the unthinkable. He denied he knew Jesus 3 times. Just as Jesus had foretold, Peter, the leader and of the inner circle of the three with James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon Peter denies Jesus, "Woman, I don't know him." A little while later, you're also one of them. "Man, I am not." A little while later, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Calling curses down on himself, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just then the rooster crowed. Matthew chapter 26, Mark chapter 14, Luke chapter 22, write of Peter denying Jesus. Simon Peter immediately became a broken man. He went out bitterly weeping. Acts chapter 6, we're introduced to Stephen, whose holy and spirit-infused wisdom in Acts chapter 7 troubled the members of the synagogues, who then stirred up the people, the elders and the teachers of the law, so that they seized Stephen and took him before the Sanhedrin. False witnesses testified. Stephen's face became like an angel. Stephen's testimony of Israel's history, concluding with proclaiming Christ, saying, "I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." The Sanhedrin covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, rushed and dragged Stephen out of Jerusalem and stoned Stephen. Saul of Tarsus was there watching with the witnesses' coats at his feet. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 tells us this. And Saul was there, giving approval to his, that is Stephen's, death. From that, a great persecution breaks out against the believers in the church in Jerusalem. And then it spreads as the believers are scattered. The believers scattered to Judea and Samaria, so the persecution scattered after them. Acts chapter 8, verse 3, but Saul began to destroy the church, going from house to house, dragged off men and women and put them in prison. Acts chapter 9, we find this now. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters for the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Saul of Tarsus, Jewish scholar, Pharisee, Roman citizen, is a violent persecutor of the believers of the early church. They were known as followers of the way. The Greek of Acts chapter 9, verse 1 writes, threats and murders. The meaning of the Greek word murder is intentional, unjustified homicide. That is Saul's attitude. That is Saul's plan for the disciples of the Lord. Anyone of the way. The way. John 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Peter the denier, Paul the persecutor. What changed them? What changed them? The compassionate mercy and grace of God shown through Jesus Christ. Peter, when he said, I'm going fishing, it really is a I quit. I'm going fishing is a I quit. And the others are pulled into this too, that I quit attitude. Utterly failing Jesus, Peter returns to what he knows best, fishing. An apostle, preposterous. I failed him. I failed Jesus. After 3+ years of being with the most amazing man, hearing the most wondrous messages ever preached, seeing the lame walk, the blind see, the leprous healed, even the dead raised. You remember, Peter was in the room with Jairus' daughter when Jesus said, little girl, get up. Even seeing the dead raised. Still in the decisive moment of testing, Peter failed and fell away. Just as the others were scattered and ran and fell away. Yes, Peter had seen the risen Jesus, the Christ. Still, something seemed to be missing. And the reason I contemplate this I'm going fishing is not just an evening fishing retreat for relaxation, but a retreat back to his old vocation, occupation, is what happens when he's fishing. They caught nothing. They caught nothing that night. Then at the word of a person to throw the net down again in the morning, the net was filled. If you do not recognize what just happened, I want you to learn and know this is identical to what happened when Jesus first called Peter to follow him. As if the Lord is raising a giant neon sign, I called you to be a fisher of men. Remember that first call of Peter? They were out all night, no fishing, no success, none whatsoever. Jesus says, put out again during the day, which is the worst fishing time. Put out again, let your nets down. And the nets were brought up, overflowing with fish, so much it was going to sink the boats. Right after that, Jesus says, come, follow me. So what's taking place now in John 21 is identical to Peter being called, I will make you a fisher of men. And John, the disciple, the apostle, recognized it. John says, it is the Lord. Peter swims to shore, and the mercy and grace of Christ's compassion lifts Peter as Jesus once again says, follow me. This compassion is made clear through Paul's life. As Paul writes in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 1, beginning of verse 12, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointed me to his service, even though I was once a blasphemer and persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Along with this now from the letter to the Corinthian church, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes and describes himself, "For I am the least of the apostles. Do not even deserve to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. This is Christ's compassionate mercy and grace, prevailing in Peter, the denier of Christ, and Paul, the persecutor of the church. This is the mercy and redeeming grace of Jesus Christ through the finished work of the cross, of Christ on the cross, His finished work. So it's freely offered to all, freely given to you. Christ's compassionate mercy and grace forgives, heals, restores, transforms, and brings forth new life. This tale of two men can become and really is your story too. For Christ came into the world to save sinners, to save you. So tell your story of what Christ's compassionate mercy and grace has done in you, so another will be saved too. Amen and amen.